just wanted to talk about today is just the things that I've been dealing with. I've been going through a lot, and I'm not going to lie to you. Like, I've been struggling a lot with some things. And is that allowed to say? Like, is it bad if someone says that? Because that's the truth. You know, I'd really like to believe I'm not the only one struggling in some point in life. So I just really want to, like, share some things with you guys. And a lot of things that I've been dealing with are really, like, just kind of like the isolation thing, the wilderness thing, like the times when, like, you know, connection with God is really fuzzy and, you know, you don't have, like, spiritual Verizon, like you can't hear God, you know, what are you saying, you know, can you hear me now? And just things were like, you know, definitely God forgot about me. God just kind of pushed me aside. I'm on the back burner, you know, I suck at life, you know, even God won't talk to me. I must really suck. So basically that's just a lot of things that you're going with when you're feeling like this. I was, like, really struggling, especially with the word. Because, like, when you're struggling with your faith, the Bible just does not, it's not appealing sometimes. And you're like, oh, my gosh, like, there are, you know, like, the New Testament Jesus passages where you've read them so many times your whole life. Like, sometimes they just don't get to you anymore. And, you know, the Old Testament passages that are, like, King so-and-so's old ancestry. I don't even care about my own ancestry. Why do I want to read his? God just started showing me, like, these awesome, awesome verses that are, they are so funny. Like, I didn't even know the Bible had jokes in it. Did you know that? I'll tell you. No, I'll tell you. 1 Kings is a killer. It's like a sitcom, you know? When I read 1 Kings, you get into this. Okay, so God showed me this one day when I was just Elijah. He's such a funny guy. Like, I can just picture, like, this loudmouth, obnoxious, like, Ilya type of guy that's, like, all, like, in your face, like, what now? Like, okay, this is 1 Kings 18:27, and so what we have here is these people that worship Baal, and Elijah is, like, really making fun of them. He's, like, mocking them, almost kind of mean about it. Okay, 1 Kings 18:27, okay. So Elijah began mocking them. He goes, you have to shout louder. Surely he's a god. Maybe he's in deep thought, or maybe he's relieving himself. Maybe he's away on a trip or asleep and needs to be wakened. I was like, this is, God, did you read this? This is hilarious. I didn't even know. And it's like, I can just picture this guy's like, hey, your God's sleeping. You got to wake him up. Or maybe he's relieving himself, you know, like, shout louder. Where is he? Where is he? You know, I was like, that's so good. Okay. Now, this next one I'm going to read, it's also in 1 Kings 20:40. Okay, yeah. So this guy, he's a prisoner in jail. He's being held in jail, and this guard is supposed to naturally stay awake all night and watch over him. But this guard falls asleep. And so, you know, of course, the guy gets away. But while I was busy doing something else, the prisoner disappeared. I'm like, that's your job. Who hired you? And I was like, maybe you want to talk to the scheduling manager, you know, get off the graveyard shift. I don't know. But you're more of a 9-to-5 kind of guy. I go back to the day job. I'm like, that's your job. And I can just picture, like, this big hulky guard. And he's like, oh, but I fell asleep and he got away. You know, he didn't even apologize. I'm like, that's your job, you know? Well, I was really getting into this. I was like, well, what do you got? What do you got? Next, what's next, God? What's next? Okay, so now actually this is a verse from Songs of Solomon. This is Song of Songs 4:2. Your teeth are as white as sheep. They are perfectly matched. Not one is missing. And when I first read that, I was like, what kind of line is this? Is that all you've got? I just felt like some guy, you know, he's just blinded by love. And that's all he can say because he's just so in love, you know. And he's like, oh, you got to check out her teeth, man. Like, she's a hottie. But then I kind of got to thinking, like, about the context going on. Back in this time, you know, they didn't exactly keep up with the dental work. So if you met a fine-looking girl with all of her teeth, definitely wanted to try and get a number. Definitely wanted to try and get something out of that. So sometimes if I'm just, like, not feeling very pretty, I'm like, you know what? I got all my teeth. According to Solomon, I'm a raving beauty right here. So then I was like, this is awesome. Did you read this stuff, God? What else you got? What else you got? Okay, now we're going to go to Jeremiah 24:6. I really like Jeremiah. I have sent them into captivity for their own good. And that's where I stopped. And I was like, I don't get it. What? Where's the punchline? What else you got? Okay, so then I kept reading here. There's no joke here. What's going on? He was like, no, this isn't a funny one. I read like a few verses around, and I realized that this is the time period when the Jews were in exile throughout Babylonia. And I don't know if you've learned about that in school. I just learned about it in my last religion class. It's 587 BCE through 538 BCE. And my religion professor labels it like the most crucial shaping period of Jewish history or whatever. But, and so I realized that God is saying here, I sent them into the captivity for their own good. These Jewish people are just throughout Babylonia, and they're spread apart. Like, there's no calling Pastor Alex, can you pray for me? I'm struggling. Like, you don't have a buddy anywhere. Like, it's you. It's you and God and all these Babylonians. What do you do when these people are like, you're in this whole new culture. All these people around you believe something totally different. They mock what you believe, and they're just like drilling this new identity into you. And I told Andre, because he gave a sermon to the youth on identity theft, and I actually wrote a lot about the themes in my essay for this paper, so like, gotta give it to you, Andre, thank you. So what we have here is, throughout Babylonia, these Jewish people are totally spread apart, and they don't have anyone to support them. They're alone. Now, what else could this be here? We've got you and a bunch of people around you that don't really live the same way you do. Might this be college? Might this be your family? Might this be your buddies? Something that I went through is, like, a lot of, you know, my friends are back from high school now, and it's just so exciting. Oh, we get to hang out all summer again, but just a lot of them just, you know, you go to college and you just become an alcoholic. They don't call it that in college, but, you know, in college it's called a good time. But after you graduate, you're called an alcoholic. So it's basically the same title. And now they just come back now, and it's just, like, sad to hang out with them because they just change so much. And especially, like, in high school, they weren't like that at all. And such good friends. And then they just became that way. But anyways, so these people are throughout Babylonia, and they have this whole new identity around them. And God says, I have sent them into captivity for their own good. Well, I know there are the verses that are like, you've been bad, you've sinned against me, I'm punishing you, but it's for your own good. But I didn't get that out of this. I didn't get they were being punished. I have sent them into captivity for their own good. I wanted them to learn something out of it. I wanted them to get something out of it. I wanted them to become stronger. Now, think about where they came from. In Judah, they had the whole temple, they had all these people together, the culture was just completely united as one. They didn't have a reason to be strong. They didn't have a reason to have their own identity because they were all together. I had a friend, she grew up her whole life, she was just in a Christian community, Christian family, Christian friends. She went to Christian school all of her life. When she went to college, she went to Northwestern, and that's a really Christian school too. So, and she told me, she was like, sometimes I wish that I didn't go to a Christian school because I don't have a reason to be strong. I've never been attacked, she says. I've never had my faith tested. I've never been outside of that comfort zone before. You know, first when she's talking about it is she's saying like, oh, you know, like everyone's so Christian there and everything just hangs out and you just have a whole new family. I'm like, sign me up for orientation. I'm there. And she's like, no, because I don't. I've never had a reason to be tested. I've never had my, I don't know how strong my faith is. I sent them into exile for their own good. I wanted them to have their own faith. I wanted them to have their own identity. When you got all these people around you, you are worthless. You are weak. You are nothing. You are insignificant. If you're a boy, you are dominant. You are abusive. You are violent. What do you do? Are you going to take that new identity? What are you going to do? Do we know what they did? We do, because these were the only Jews left, and if they had taken on the new identity, the Jewish faith would have died off. So we know that they made it through because the Jewish faith kept going and kept living. And like, now I kind of understand how strong they are and like how much like that history has gone through. And just to kind of bring it back to us, these Jews were like the ancestors of the Jews that would later become Christians eventually. So what you do is like, you've got all these people around you. First of all, I said before, their faith was just so shaken because the temple is destroyed. And so they're probably thinking already God left us and God just kind of let us go. Oh, life sucks. Oh, this is horrible. We don't have anybody. God forgot about us now. Oh, we're in Babylonia. It's so hot out here. And, like, everything is, like, so, oh, my gosh, what am I going to do? I don't have anybody. Oh, you know, you just want to, like, oh, I just want to pull up the covers and go to sleep. Wake me up when exile is over. I just want to lay here. Is it over yet? No, God says, get up. You're stronger than that. Do you think you'd be there if I didn't think you could make it? You're there because I know you can make it. Get up. I need you. You're all I've got. Look at this. Look, who do I have? I've got Babylonians and you. And I'm going to lose you now? Get up. Like, you're stronger than that. you wouldn't be here if God didn't think that you could make it through. These people are spread apart through Babylonia, and we know that they're taking on their own identity, and we know that they're taking on everything that they're going through. And I know that when you're in this fire and you're in this wilderness and you can't hear God, and you just, you're so sure God forgot about us, and you're just so sure that it's over and nothing is going to change and it's going to be like this forever. Oh, life sucks. And that's when you want to stop reading and you want to stop praying and you just want to like lay down and pull the covers over your head, go back to bed. Like, you don't have any reason to get up. You're just very depressed. That's why Alex said that. People get depressed because it feels good. And you just, like, you don't want to keep going. You don't want to get up. You just, oh, I don't care what people around me tell me. Maybe I'll go hang out with them. It's better than laying here. But is that what they did? No, we know that they didn't, because they came out strong. And we know that they didn't, there wasn't like a BC like time chart. Like, they didn't know, oh, we've only got 40 years left, we can hang out. No, they thought, maybe we're going to be here forever. So what are we going to do? Like, we're just going to give it up, you know, and become like them? Is that what we're going to do? Because we have to pull through this. In 538, Persia attacked, and they attacked Babylonia and King Cyrus set the Jews free. So then they were free then after exile. Now I want to read 1 Kings again. It's not funny though. 19:12. First there's a big windstorm, and then there's an earthquake, and then there's fire. Like, just blow after blow. Kick me while I'm down. I'm already down. I'm as low as I get here. And then after the fire, there was the sound of a gentle whisper. Oh, who do you think was the gentle whisper? It was God. After the fire, we hear God's voice. After the windstorm, after the earthquake, after the fire, then we hear a gentle voice. I remember last year in camp when Dimitri was talking about the seasons, you know, he's talking about winter and how it's just, you know, kind of dead, slow, you know, it's really hard to hear God's voice, you know, you're not really getting anything, you're really struggling, and you're just like, come on, God, just one word, just let me know I'm doing something right, just let me know I'm still alive, just one word so that I know you still hear me, you know, just something. And then you just hear like one word from God, and you know, like, that's just the encouragement to keep going. I remember, like, this is actually something my mom said, because my grandpa is, he's 92 and he's in the nursing home, and he can do some things on his own, but a lot of things you kind of have to like carry him around and help him, you know, and spoon feed him, you know, help him. But my mom said it's good that he uses those muscles, otherwise he'll lose them. And I got thinking about that later, and I was like, it's good that you use your spiritual muscles, otherwise you'll lose them. Otherwise you just like carry around my grandpa, you know, spoon feed him, you know. And my mom's saying that, she'll be like, no, come on, you can do it. Just pick up the spoon, you can do it, just feed yourself. I'm like, Mom, just feed him, let's get out, it smells in here. My mom's like, no, he needs to use his muscles. No, he needs to, we're not going to carry him around. I'm like, I'll be in the car. So I sent them into captivity for their own good. Like, I wanted them to come out of their strong. I wanted them to come out of their secure in their identity. And I wanted them to be so sure in who they were. Like, my friend, she's never had a reason to be tested. She's never had a reason to know how strong she is until you kind of get out of that comfort zone, and like, it really pulls you through. And so what do you have here? Like, if you don't keep reading, if you don't keep praying, if you don't keep going on, you're just going to stop, and you're just going to lose your muscles and die off. Oh, this is another thing I thought of. What had happened if they weren't in Babylonia? If they had stayed in Judah, I also think that they would have died off, because then they wouldn't have been strong, and my mom said they wouldn't have used their muscles, and their muscles would have died, and then they would have died off. So if they had stayed here, they would have died. If they had stayed here, they could have died. The only choice they had left was to keep going and to keep, just suck it up. Like, we talked about, Pastor talked about God's will for Paul and how, like, he had so much to go through and just, basically, what a hard life to go through after you become Christian. It's kind of like, you go against me, life is going to suck. You go with me, life is going to suck. Kind of like, danged if you do, danged if you don't kind of thing. So basically, you know, you're better off just sticking it out and hanging out with God. I send them into captivity for their own good, and they wouldn't be there if I didn't think they could make it. New Life Church, you wouldn't be here if you didn't think you could make it. Amen.